Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Revolution Recap. The Rev season is mercifully over. It ends with a 1-1 draw in Chicago. Dylan Barrero scored in the 88th minute, looking like he was going to give the Revs 3 points and a happy ending to what has been a pretty miserable season. But in 2022 Revs fashion, they found a way to blow the lead and drop points from a winning position once again, and once again tying what I believe is an inferior Chicago Fire team. A really, really fitting way to end the season, and it's one that I think everyone, including Bruce Arena, would like to forget. I'm Greg Johnstone. Joining me today is Sean Donahue. Sean, how's it going?
You couldn't have put it any better. It was certainly a very fitting way to end the season with a miscommunication between Petrovic and Omar Gonzalez, of all people, who had come on literally that play to defend that throw-in. Leading to the equalizing goal. Very, very fitting end of the season. You mentioned two draws with Chicago towards the end of the year. If they had gotten those 4 more points, they still wouldn't have made the playoffs, but they would have been just 2 points back. But it really was a very fitting end to the season for the Revolution, one that I think we are both glad has come to a conclusion, hoping for better things in 2023.
I think we've talked about this before, but I think if you told me at the beginning of the year that this team would finish in 10th place, the way they'd crash out of the Champions League. I really think this was a worst-case scenario, all things considered, for the Revs. Everything really went wrong, and you're right. I mean, Omar Gonzalez, once again, I don't want to blame everything on him, and Bruce Arena got a question about it in the post-game press conference from Tom Quinlan about, you know, why is it happening so much where Omar Gonzalez comes in? And Bruce said something to the extent of like, you know, I don't want to scapegoat Omar here. But Omar really brought in for that play. And Petrovic, still learning English. Maybe there's some communication issues there. But Omar and Petrovic, kind of a self-inflicted collision to clear out that long throw-in. I think I saw some people blaming Brandon Bye, who tried heading the ball out of the box, and he was kind of in a tough position and did what he could. He ends up heading it to a Chicago player, and it bounces in. Really, that should be a simple catch by the goalkeeper, but the Revs, once again, getting in their own way. So I don't really want to dwell on that too much, but it is very fitting. The second Omar Gonzalez comes in, really for that play, really to just protect against a set piece, and he seems to be in the center of a disastrous slip up at the end of the games.
I got to say that the competition for worst signing of the season is going to be a very difficult one this year.
Well, I still think that goes to Josie, just with the contract involved And we can get into contract stuff later. But I mean, if we want to get into it, if we had a debate on what is the worst signing in Revs history, Jozy Altidore is certainly up there. I at least can say that Omar Gonzalez is not a gam-tam player, whereas Jozy Altidore's contract is a bit of a monstrosity. So I still vote for Jozy, but Omar is not doing himself any service. And the fact that we have multiple people that, you know, we would like to use the buyout option on going into this offseason is a pretty bad sign for Bruce Arena's last few offseasons.
Yes, it is.
Well, we'll get into some offseason stuff later. Let's talk about this game because I think we have to. I can't say I talked too much about this game. I spent most of the second half arguing with Tom Quinlan on Twitter about something he's completely wrong about, but that's another story for another day. Sean, what was your key takeaway from this game in Chicago that, this 1-1 draw?
Yeah, I mean, my key takeaway is kind of looking forward, and it's on Giacomo Rioni. I think the Revolution season next year and their success next season is completely dependent, or mostly dependent, on Giacomo Rioni finding the form he had in Austria. That's not to say the Revolution don't have plenty of other areas they need to improve upon, but they've invested so much into this guy to be their number nine next year. He is their DP striker, and he needs to find the form that made him one of the top scorers in Austria last season if the Revolution are to have a successful year. And it just comes down to, you know, you watch what happened in this game. He had a sitter within the first minute of the game that he missed. He had another opportunity that it seemed like he was, you know, trying to create something for himself to score, where he kind of dribbled in the left side of the box and could have passed to Nacho Hill or somebody else a better chance, but instead forced it and kind of wasted that chance. And I believe he had another chance later on in the game where he had a better shot. But, you know, overall, you know, you've seen this season that the Revolution are still creating chances. Carles Hill still had a top five all-time season in key passes, chances created for the Revolution, and, you know, league-wide since they've started keeping that track. I think it was one of the top five seasons in history. So the Revolution are creating a lot of chances. Brandon Bye, we talked about him breaking the assist record for the Revolution as a fullback. DeJuan Jones, still a very talented player. Revs creating plenty of chances. They didn't finish their chances. And Giacomo Rioni is kind of suspect number one on that list for guys that came in, had a lot of expectations as a, you know, finisher, as a poacher, as a guy that could get on the end of crosses. And he has not been able to do that for the Revolution. His only goal was on a penalty kick. He's just missed chance after chance after chance. You know, a lot of that is he's not fully fit. A lot of that is adjusting to the league. But, you know, between his finishing ability being lacking because of the sharpness this season, and also his instincts, which you've talked about before, and not necessarily making the right run when the Revolution need him to, they really need him to be on the same page as his teammates, making the right run, and extremely sharp in front of goal if they are to have success next season, because this Revolution system is very dependent on having a number nine that's putting the ball in the back of the net. And since Adam Buksa left, the Revolution really haven't had that. And again, given what they've invested into Rioni, you know, there isn't going to be a second option up there to do what they need him to do. So if he can't find his form, if he can't find his feet, if he can't find sharpness, and if he can't stay healthy next season, it's going to be another long year for the Revolution. I think any success they have next year is going to be dependent on him, you know, being a double digit, you know, 15 plus goal scorer for the team, and leading the lineup there and staying healthy and getting the job done. Because, you know, we can make excuses for him this season, but next season they need him to hit the ground running.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said there. And I think one thing, I don't want to compare him directly to Adam Buksa because he's a little bit different than Adam Buksa. Physically, I think his game is a little bit different from Adam Buksa. But you remember Adam Buksa coming in that first year in 2020, and a lot of people were done with him very quickly. And if you look back on that season, you know, Bruce Arena mentioned, you know, he's not really making the right runs. We need to make different runs. He's very raw. We have to coach him up a little bit. He mentioned that in early 2021 when mentioning the difference between Adam Buksa. And Buksa, you know, didn't have a lot of time to train with the team during the pandemic. He missed Carles Hill. Once he had Carles Hill's service, he was scoring goals a lot more frequently. He was in a lot much better spots. So there is some validity to having a young player coming over from Europe mid-season, who needs to be still coached up a little bit, still a little bit raw. You know, you mentioned his instincts. Matt Doyle pointed that out on Twitter a few weeks ago. It's very true that, you know, Vrioni needs to be in the right spots and making the right runs, and maybe that's not there yet. Maybe he does not have that chemistry with teammates yet. With that said, Adam Bukes in 2020, we saw the aerial ability. We saw some really, really good shots from Adam Bukes in the Nashville game, for example, which he got a point from. We saw some really solid strikes from him. We haven't really seen anything from Vrioni yet, and certainly that's because he's hurt. But in the limited time we've seen him, nothing has wowed me yet. I haven't seen that DP moment where with Adam Bukes, he had some balls that he jumped up and he headed in, or he hit off the post a million times, and we said, if this is slightly more, a foot or two more inward, that's a goal. That's a perfect goal. Vrioni, we have not seen him being very dangerous at all. And on top of that, we've seen him miss two or three big chances. He has 1.8 expected goals on the season. I believe that chance he missed yesterday was 0.79 expected goals. And that really changes the entire complexion of the game. So I do think he'll benefit from having a full preseason. And you mentioned, Sean, having him be a 15 goal scorer. That'd be wonderful. I think if he's not a double-digit goal scorer, that's a real issue, as you mentioned. It would be a very, very big problem if he is not giving you at least, a quality striker output. But you really prefer him to be a designated player, and I haven't really seen anything to indicate that he is a designated player. Again, very short sample size, injuries, lack of chemistry with the team, needs a full preseason. I'm sure he'll benefit from that. But with that being said, nothing has wowed me so far from Vrioni.
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right that Adam Bukes didn't come in here and hit the ground running to the extent maybe you would have hoped he did. But you're right, there were positives there. He did hit the post a lot. He was getting in good spots. There were excuses of Carles Hill not always being out there when he was. Vrioni has had the benefit of Carles Hill out there when he's been playing. So he's had a lot of chances. And there just hasn't been those positive signs that you would have hoped to have seen. Again, whether it's making the right run, being on the same page as the teammate, kind of everything's been missing. The finishing's been missing. The right runs have been missing. The kind of being in the right place at the right time has been missing. Again, he hasn't been fit. He's been injured. He still doesn't look 100%. So there are excuses out there, but it is a little bit troubling that we kind of haven't seen those flashes or those moments that you would hope to see from a guy of his talent and from a guy with his pedigree. Certainly not writing him off for next season, but in my view, if he doesn't have a good season, the Revolution are not going to have a good season, regardless of what they do elsewhere on the field to improve the team. And again, we'll get into it later. There are a lot of other areas in the field I think the Revolution need to improve. So I'm not trying to gloss over that, but I do think the kind of the number one most important thing for the Revs next season is that Vrioni offers them, what you thought you were going to offer or what you thought you were going to get from him when you saw you were getting a top scorer from the Austrian Bundesliga coming in to join this team and replace Adam Bukes.
Agreed 100%. I want to move on to my key takeaway. By the way, our key takeaways are brought to us by our friends at The Rebellion. Go check them out at nerebellion.org or on Twitter at The Rebellion to learn more about supporter culture and potentially becoming a member next season. 2023 is going to be an exciting year, hopefully much better than this year. And if you want to go down to the Revs, if you want to be a part of the fort, they would love to have you there. They'd love to have you at their tailgates, whether or not you are a member. So go check out nerebellion.org to help out and support our friends at the Rebellion. My key takeaway here is I know why Bruce did this. And he mentioned during the press conference last week that this is professional soccer and you play to win the game. I understand that 100%. And this lineup did not surprise me totally. I wasn't shocked that we did not see any real changes or rotation in the lineup. Bruce seems to want to play a starting 11 almost as a preseason game to see what he has for next season. I fully understand that. With that being said, I think this is a real missed opportunity not to get Noel Buck some real minutes against a Chicago Fire team that's not very competitive. I'm very disappointed we didn't see more players that are kind of younger getting a little more involved in this game. We did see Damian Rivera today, but we didn't see Noel Buck, and I'm not totally sure why. I thought Noel Buck played pretty well in the minutes that we saw him so far this season. And on top of that, too, Noel Buck, who I believe played an eight, played as more of an eight at Revs 2. We've seen Noel Buck as kind of more of an attacking player with Revs 1, so he's kind of a little bit out of position. I thought maybe playing Noel Buck over Wilfred Kaptoum, who's a pretty obvious you know, option declined candidate, if he is an option, I thought playing Buck over Kaptum would have been pretty interesting to see how he fit there with Matt Polster out yesterday due to injury. So, very disappointed we did not see Noel Buck at all yesterday. Very disappointed that we did not see a ton of Damian Rivera, maybe in Gustavo Bo's spot. You know, Gustavo Bo went almost the full game. He was subbed out for Omar Gonzalez there towards the end. I thought maybe you could have taken off Gustavo Bo 60 minutes in and given Damian Rivera 30 or maybe go 45-45. I did like seeing Nacho Heal for a good amount of time, and I think that will go into evaluating whether or not he stays for next season and how interested the Revs are in keeping him. But overall, I would have liked to have seen Damian Rivera and Noel Buck have more of an impact in this game. And I'm pretty disappointed overall. We went with a starting 11. I didn't even get the 3 points. But I get the logic, but still disappointing overall, considering this game means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it was, you know, we talked about this a bit on the podcast last week, that it's very clear that, you know, Bruce was still trying to win now mode and trying to figure out his best formation and everything, and didn't put much thought into playing the younger guys. And it's a missed opportunity for a guy like Noel Buck when you have a game like this that means absolutely nothing. You know, I understand you still want to see what Giacomo Vrioni can offer, you know, how he integrates with guys like Carles Hill. I think Nacho Hill is still kind of on a trial. But to give 0 minutes to Noel Buck in these past two games, to me, is kind of a travesty. You know, you have a 17-year-old player that has a lot of developing to do, and every minute he can get with the first team in MLS action, I think is hugely important. So to me, it's disappointing that we didn't get to see him out there, you know, even if it was for Gustavo Bo at, say, the 60th minute. And I said that last week, too, that, you know, if you don't trust him to play, you know, the eight, and you don't want to play him from the beginning, I don't think Gustavo Bo needed to go 91 minutes in this game. You know, I think you saw enough out of him in the minutes that he did play, and you know what he can bring, and you have the opportunity to play with Vrioni, and especially after Vrioni came off in, you know, the 64th minute, you could have put him as a left winger, and maybe put, you know, Justin Renick up top or something. But to me, it's a waste that Noel Buck didn't play any minutes in those last two games, and he's been promising for the Revs. And, you know, I think he's got a bright future for the team, but these were, you know, valuable games for him to get minutes without having much pressure on him, because the Revolution season was, you know, already effectively over as far as the postseason goes. But, you know, if you think Bruce is going to be, if you're hoping Bruce is going to be a play the kids type first person in these scenarios, it's pretty clear that he's not.
No, and even McCoon, who came in the 74th minute for Kaptum, got in over Buck, which, and we've talked about it before, McCoon, previously a center back with Charlotte and Miami, Bruce almost seems to be playing him a little bit more in the defensive midfield. I think he kind of sees him as a real six, a D mid, and maybe he's just trying to work him in there. It seems like McCoon is someone who Bruce wants to rotate in and get adjusted for next year, and that's fine. I would have been a little more okay playing McCoon over Kaptum. I have no idea. Either Kaptum is under contract or you're denying his option, and we'll get into that later, but Kaptum has no role on the team for 2023. So if you're playing your best 11 and you're using this as a, well, we want to get our team prepped for next year, Kaptum doesn't do that. There's no reason for Wilfred Kaptum to be playing for the Revs in a meaningless game at the end of the season. There's zero reason. And I understand, you know, Esmir, I think, is a little bit far away from being first team, you know, starting quality. I think he still has a little bit of development at Revs too. But Noel Buck did, I mean, he passed all the tests when we saw him. I'm very confused why Kaptum is eating minutes as opposed to Noel Buck. Even if Noel Buck goes out there and is poor, you know what he needs to work on. You know where he needs to develop. A waste is a really good way to put this, in my opinion. So very confused at that particular decision. I don't know. Very frustrating.
Yeah, and McCoon too. You're absolutely right. If you don't trust him at the six, or at the eight rather, you could certainly have started McCoon over Kaptum. You know, I haven't been particularly impressed with McCoon in his limited appearances for the Revolution, but I do think he's more likely to have a future with the Revs than Kaptum, for the same reasons you mentioned. And I don't think the Revolution, you know, traded for McCoon midseason and gave up whatever it was, $200,000 in allocation money or whatever they traded. I think it might have been, was it $400,000? I can't remember. But, you know, whatever they traded for him, I don't think it was for a, you know, a 5-month rental. I think they're expecting to bring him back, where I don't think they are with McCoon, or with Kaptum rather. So that too would have made more sense to me to start him and see what he could offer. You know, even if you thought Kaptum gave you the better chance of winning, again, this is not a game that, know, it's nice to build some positive vibes going forward. But at the end of the day, I think they didn't because of that Omar Gonzalez error. And, you know, I don't know. It just is a shame, especially on the road. You know, it's not like you're trying to win your last home game. If you're trying to give an excuse for that to, you know, put up a good showing for a decent sized crowd of home fans, it's again, missed opportunity to kind of see what you have from some of these younger guys, get them some more experience and build going that way, especially if Captoom's not going to be here next season, which I agree with you. You probably shouldn't be.
And we didn't need Tommy McNamara for 90 minutes either. Tommy McNamara is under a contract extension. You know, we could have gotten 30 minutes of Nolbuck if you wanted to start McNamara, but it is what it is. A couple of other people I just want to give quick shout outs to. Dylan Barrero on the goal. Beautiful goal. Clearly some talent is there, Sean. Hopefully he also gets healthy. We talked about how important it is for Vrioni to get healthy. I think Barrero equally needs to get healthy and kind of add some danger to the left wing, especially if DeJuan Jones, you know, I know there's always rumors about him leaving to Europe. I'm not so sold on that one, but Dylan Barrero on the left wing, I certainly think would be a weapon. So just wanted to give him some kudos too. Also just wanted to shout out Petrovic, another great performance in net from him yesterday, despite the miscommunication towards the end. He had some great saves in goal. And also Nacho Heal, I think, has played phenomenally and seems to be a good balance on that right wing. They've really lacked on kind of that right winger spot, having an attacker. A beautiful ball to Vrioni that should have led to a goal early in the game. So just wanted to kind of note Barrero, Nacho Heal, and Petrovic as three guys that I thought were pretty solid positives, and I think we need to mention them before we moved on from this game. Any shout-outs, positive or negative, you want to get into?
No, I mean, I think we're going to get into more when we talk about some of the contract situations. One guy that I thought had a negative performance that I wasn't particularly impressed with was Henry Kessler. I thought he got beaten and, you know, slipped on the turf a couple times. And just in general, I don't think he's had a good end of the season, you know, despite the fact that I think we all agree that he's in generally the Revolution's best center back. But, you know, you mentioned Petrovic, can't say enough good things about him. You mentioned Nacho Heal, who had a good performance and I think probably earned himself an extension. But you know, there were some good performances in this one, despite the bad taste left in your mouth by the end result.
Well, let's get away from this game. Cause you know, if our listeners care as much as we do, we don't really care about this game too much, but you mentioned the Petrovic contract extension. Let's hop into that right now. It was announced earlier this week, that Petrovic has signed a contract extension. I put contract extensions in quotes. It is a 3-year contract through 2025 with a 2026 club option. You may remember that his initial contract was a 3-year deal with a 1-year club option. So I'm guessing by 3-year deal, that means that it commenced in mid-2022, so it ran through mid-2025 with a 1-year option. And so this is a six-month extension. I'm guessing that's what we mean by a contract extension. I assume it comes with a big raise for Petrovic. And I also, we don't know contract details, but I imagine, and Sean, you've talked about Taylor Twellman's tweet about interest abroad in him. I think it was noted that there have been no formal offers, but there are a lot of people chattering around Georgi Petrovic. I wonder if there was a release clause in that initial contract the Revs wanted to kind of boost up as we entered this offseason, and probably more so next summer when European teams are looking to improve their teams in the offseason. Sean, what was your reaction to the Georgi Petrovic contract extension, and do you think it's a big deal?
I mean, I do think it's a big deal, and I think it's kind of shows a shift in thinking by the Revolution over what they've done historically, where, you know, this guy signed for the Revs a few months ago, and they're already giving him presumably a pay raise and an extension, or, well, sort of an extension for a guy that they could have just said, hey, you're under contract, we got you on a great deal, you know, deal with it, which we've seen the Revs do in the past. But here's a guy that's sought after by teams in Europe that there's a lot of interest in, as there should be because of how well he's played. And, you know, it's a sign of good faith from the Revolution to give him more money, try to keep him happy. And, you know, I think this is a sign that they'll probably keep him around, you know, maybe one more season before he's gone, which is a huge thing for the Revolution because we've seen how good he can be. You know, if he plays at this level for an entire year, he's going to be MLS goalkeeper of the year. So I'm glad to see the Revolution trying to keep this guy happy. And, you know, given there's interest in him, you know, make it more likely that he sticks around for another season and stays happy before they do have to move on from him and sell him overseas before the offers get too good to refuse. So I think it's great news for the Revolution and a good sign from the team that they're willing to do this for a guy that they could have just kind of held hostage on his low salary, which is something that you might have seen this team do years ago.
Yeah, and we again don't know exact numbers, so we don't know how much of a boost he's getting, what his initial salary was. But I imagine that this is making both parties happy. I assume the Revs are getting something out of it. But does this keep Petrovic in New England through 2025/2026? No, it does not. I imagine he will still get a ton of offers in the summer. And I don't know. I think originally, Sean, we said that maybe in the 2023-2024 offseason, he would get a big offer. I remember after the TFC game, I felt weird saying, you know, this guy's probably better than Matt Turner. He's going to be a double-digit, an eight-figure transfer fee. Enjoy him while you can. And it seems like a lot more people are saying that again and again. I know Michel Gioni went on Managing Expectations with Tom Bogert and said basically that exact same thing, that Andre Blake is probably your goalkeeper of the year, but Petrovic is arguably the best goalkeeper in the league, basically saying that Blake has played a full season, so that's why he's getting the vote. And he also said that Petrovic is better than Matt Turner, which I think might be true. That's no disrespect to Matt Turner. Petrovic just has some insane instincts. So it is worth noting, too, Petrovic spoke to the media, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle because it sounded like Jorge Petrovic said he was going to stay another 6 months to 1 year in New England. His agent clarified that what he meant to say was his goal is to eventually go back to a major league in Europe. If this is going to happen now or in 6 months or in 1 year, I don't know. I don't burden myself with it. I'm very happy in New England. That's loosely translated there. So essentially, you know, this is a similar situation to Adam Buksa, it sounds like, where Petrovic's ultimate goal is to play in Europe. He later mentioned at the press conference he'd love to play in the Champions League, which, to be honest, I think is kind of expected and it kind of comes with the territory of whenever you sign a European player. European players don't grow up dreaming of winning MLS Cup. They dream of playing in the Premier League and Champions League and whatnot. So no big shock there, but it is going to be interesting to see this unfold over the next year because I don't think the contract extension is going to cool off any European interest in it.
No, I'll just say after the Taylor Twellman tweet, I was thinking that there was a good chance that he was going to be gone this offseason and we're not going to see him in 2023. And after this contract extension, I think it's much more likely that we see him stick with the Revolution through the 2023 season. I would be very surprised if the Revolution held on to him beyond that. But even that, you know, is huge. And I think that, again, when you talk about the Revs kind of window for winning a championship and, you know, we've debated before whether, you know, what that was, I think holding on to Petrovic is a huge part of that, given how good he is. I don't think you could strike lightning three times with getting, you know, given how good Matt Turner was, given how good Petrovic is. I think you'd have a very, very hard time finding a goalkeeper to replace Petrovic that can live up to the levels of those two goalkeepers. So, you know, holding on to him for another season keeps the Revolution's championship window open, despite how poor the season went, I think. So that is vital. And again, if you think he's going to be gone after, you know, after this next season, which I do, there's another situation where there's even more pressure this season to try to win now.
Do you think there's a chance they sell him mid-year if the season's going sideways? If the Revs are having kind of more of a continuation of this season and they start getting a $10 million bid, or they get a bid similar to Gaga Slonina, do you think that they just go ahead and bite the bullet and take the profit?
Yeah, if the season starts off really poorly and we're, you know, approaching the summer window and the Revolution don't look like a playoff team, then I think that changes everything. But I'm acting under the assumption that the Revolution are going to perform at a higher level next year than they did this year. We'll see what happens. I just can't imagine them, you know, dropping as many points from winning positions next season as they did this year. But yeah, I agree. If not to put words in your mouth, but I think if they were to be in a situation where they were, you know, midseason, things weren't going very well, that kind of changes the calculus on when to sell Petrovic.
It is interesting. The Revs went from a team that, as you said, if you were under contract, you were playing for us. They held back Shalri Joseph. They held back Taylor Twellman. They held back players from exploring chances abroad in MLS 1.0. And now they've almost gone to the exact opposite end of the spectrum where they're kind of a selling team, and it'll be interesting to see if, you know, while it's good for Robert Kraft's pockets, it certainly isn't good for results and morale. And hopefully Petrovic stays around for a long time, but we'll see. Hopefully they get another run of the championship next season. One more interesting piece of news here that I wanted to note. Maciel is going to be out 8 to 12 months. He had surgery to repair his Achilles that was ruptured during training a few weeks ago. This was kind of, I don't want to say hinted at, but it was alluded to a few games ago. They brought out a Get Well Soon Maciel shirt during the pregame photo. There was some kind of chatter on social media about Maciel suffering an injury, and it sounds pretty terrible, which is not great for a promising young player who certainly had a role on this team, I think, kind of in the rotation. So hopefully he returns healthy. We'll talk about contract stuff in a little bit, so we'll talk about whether or not he is staying or what his chances are staying there, but certainly disappointing news for Maciel and a big blow to that central midfield.
Yeah, it's a huge blow for the Revolution and a huge blow for him even more so, given his promise and, you know, the chance for him to be a decent part of the Revolution rotation. For a young guy like that to have this injury is really unfortunate. And yeah, I think it does weigh into the factors of when the Revolution are trying to figure out, you know, what to do for next season. I think it does weigh into their decision making around contracts for sure.
And before we get into the off-season chatter, I want to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, Golasso Kits. Golasso Kits' mission is to bring unique vintage jerseys to your home with a catalog of jerseys, jackets, scarves, and more from clubs and national teams from over 80 countries in the world. They have United States men's national team merch. They have Revs merch. They have merch from your favorite European club that you can support abroad while you wait out this long, cold off-season where the Revs are not playing any playoff soccer. Golasso Kits will have something you want and need in your closet, and if you're not sure what you want, you can check out their mystery kit packages where you enter in the size and the style of jersey you like, and Golasso will surprise you with the kit of your dreams. And right now, they have a Youth Large 2021 Home Revolution kit for $15 before promo code. $15 might be a nice Christmas gift for your little one. So go check out GolassoKits.com right now and use promo code Revs Recap to save 15% off your order. That is promo code Revs Recap at GolassoKits.com for 15% off your order. Links and codes are in the show notes. Sean, let's get to some off-season chatter because I see a lot of people wondering what's the next step for this team. And I just wanted to briefly, as brief as we can, talk about who's under contract, who's not under contract, kind of give people an idea of where this team is. And personally, I'm not in love with it. I think the past couple of off seasons, the Revs have been in a pretty decent opportunity, have had some space to make some moves. And I was doing some math on who's going to be sticking around. And, well, let me get to the numbers here. Under contract for next season, we have Dylan Barrero, we have Gustavo Bo, Brandon Bai, Carlos Gil, Omar Gonzalez signed a 2-year deal last offseason. A few people were asking about that. Omar Gonzalez is on a 2-year deal. So as of now, we might see him next season. DeJuan Jones, Tommy McNamara, Jorge Petrovic, Matt Polster, Tajori Shirati, Vrioni, Andrew Farrell, Noel Buck, Esmir, Josie Altidore. We know Tajori Shirati and Farrell are under contract because MLSPA released a list of everyone who has a contract option or is a free agent earlier this summer. And Farrell and Tajori Shirati would be eligible for free agency if their contracts were ending, but they're not on there. So that's why I'm putting them on this list. That's 15 players. Okay, Sean? Team options. And Sean, why don't we go through who we would extend the option for as this list goes on. Ima Boateng.
You know, I'm honestly not sure. Given personally, yes, I would. But given Bruce's usage of him and or lack thereof, and he's been very positive for the Revolution when he's gotten in the field, but Bruce doesn't seem to trust him very much at all. And you know, given the Revolution need senior roster spots, I think they're going to play with the wingers more frequently next season. But you know, you ended the year without Dylan Barrero healthy, without Ismael Tajari Shorty healthy, and if you couldn't get Ima Boateng many minutes without them, you know, being available when they are available next year, where do his minutes come from? So I actually think if I'm Bruce Arena and I view Ima Boateng the way Bruce Arena seems to view Ima Boateng, that I don't pick up that option.
That's an interesting. I have him down as a yes, but I do agree with your logic there, where it seems like he was being used less and less. You know what's interesting, Sean? Try to name the top four players on the Revs in terms of key passes.
Carlos Hill.
Yep.
Brandon Bye might be up there this year.
Yep.
I'm assuming you're asking this because Boateng's on the list.
Number four. Number four. Duan Jones and Brandon Bye were two and three. Ima Boateng was fourth. Isn't that insane? I mean, that just shows you the lack of offensive playmaking ability. Anyway, I was very surprised when I saw that stat this morning. But
my guess is Sebastian Lletget would have been in the top four if he had stayed with the team all season.
But. Well, I think he had like nine key passes when he was traded, but he had five assists. So I don't know. Bruce Ball. I don't know. I don't get it. Imba Boateng will question mark. Clement Diop.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen him. But the Revs gave up something for him. He was 200K in GAM, right? Was that the trade or?
Yep. And they moved him to the supplemental roster.
So I guess this one's a tough one for me because, you know, we don't know if Brad Knighton is going to be back. Stuff came out. I forget who it was. Tom Quinlan that tweeted or something.
Tom Quinlan said that Brad Knighton has no intention of retiring and he would like to return to New England.
Yeah, so I guess we don't know what's going to happen there. If I'm the Revs, I'd probably move on from him to free up the senior roster spot. And given the fact that Earl Edwards was the backup for most of the season, not him, although he was back on the bench the final game. So I don't know what any of that means. This one's the goalkeeper situation. We talked a bit about it in the last podcast. This one is very difficult for me. You know, with the limited knowledge of what we know about Diop and the fact that we didn't see him at all making the roster or anything, the game day roster, I would move on from him and consider the 200K of sunk cost. But we also don't know, you know, we know this season that some of his salary was covered, so he was on the supplemental roster. We don't know if that'd be the case next year, but certainly if he's going to take up a senior roster spot next season, I would move on. If it's a supplemental roster spot, I think you probably keep him. I honestly just don't feel like we have enough context to give a good answer on this one.
It should be noted Knighton was on the bench yesterday, which I think was his first appearance on the bench since August. So it seemed like not a send-off, but it seemed intentional that they put him on the bench for the last game when I believe Diop has been the number two for the last few months. So I kind of imagine that Bruce was moving on from Knighton and this was kind of his send-off. If I'm predicting what Bruce is doing, I think Diop is the guy since you spent something on him. And I can't imagine what's changed between when you acquired him and now. But I digress. As you said, it's a weird one and they can go in a lot of different directions. Earl Edwards Jr., I think he's the odd man out, correct?
I mean, if Diop is back.
Or Knighton.
You keep one of the... Yeah, I think you keep one of those guys. So yeah, I'm not certain which one it is, but Earl Edwards was the backup for most of the season. So... it would not surprise me if they went in any of the three directions for next year, to be honest.
The Earl Edwards Express was chugging along in March and April. Remember that? Remember the 6 weeks where Earl Edwards was killing it in the Champions League? And then that kind of all unraveled kind of quickly. But memories. Ben Rivino, I have a no.
Yeah, I probably not. And maybe they try to sign him back to Revs too. But, you know, he wasn't seeing any minutes down the stretch. But again, he's a supplemental roster guy. So if they have an open supplemental spot and they don't bring in somebody they like, I think he's going to be a very kind of late decision where they don't pick up his option and they, you know, maybe bring him back into preseason to make a decision then.
It's not reported, but I'm going to speculate these are options because they had options last year. John Bell, big question mark.
I think John Bell, you try to bring back. I'm assuming they're going to try to move on from Omar. And, you know, John Bell is a serviceable kind of fourth option center back on the roster, and the versatility of him getting some left back minutes late in the season, I think also add to making him worth keeping.
Maciel. And I'm going to preface this by saying you can put someone on season ending injury list and they don't take up any, you get your relief in terms of the roster spots you give up. So they could extend Maciel, put him on season ending injury list, and get back not only his supplemental roster spot, but an international roster spot if he takes that up. I could see them doing that. If not, I could see them moving on, especially since they're going to try to upgrade in the midfield. It's not worth putting an international roster spot on for Maciel. Any disagreement there?
No, I completely agree with that. And I think this season, you know, you were hoping to see maybe more progress from him after the season he had the year before. And I don't think we necessarily saw the progress you wanted to see from Maciel this season. So that combined with the unfortunate injury, you know, if you put him on the season ending injury list and are able to free up that international spot and that roster spot, then, you know, fine, go ahead and do that. But if you're, you know, holding on for him to come back in August or September or something and just having him fill up that spot, I don't think it makes sense for the Revs. So it's unfortunate that he's a, you know, promising young player for the Revs, but the injury came at a bad time. And I think it came after a season where you didn't necessarily see the amount of progress you were hoping to see. So I can't see them, you know, holding onto a roster spot for him next year, unless it's to put him on the season ending injury list and, you know, free it up again.
Ryan Spalding, who I personally think they're going to deny since they've been trying out John Bell and Christian McCoon at left back from time to time. I feel like his the home finale, he got 45 minutes and was taken off at halftime. I don't think that was a good sign, and he's played very sparingly. So I have him as a decline. What are your thoughts?
I agree, and it's important to remember that Ryan Spalding is 24 years old, so it's not like he's a very young player with a lot of promise that you hope to build up over the years. And I think the lack of minutes down the stretch when the Revolution needed a left back and playing John Bell there, and like you said, bring him off at the 45th minute in his last appearance. And, you know, even for Revs too, they were playing him more as a winger or as a wide midfielder than a left back. I don't see him back next year. Again, he's a low cost guy, so with some of these, you know, low cost supplemental guys, you might see somebody back that you weren't expecting, but my guess is he's not back next year.
Edward Kizza.
I would be shocked if he was back next year. I don't know why they picked up his option this year.
still technically on the Revolution roster. Jacob Jackson, similar to Maciel. I think he's got better standing than Maciel because I think the Revs have a path for him to at least fill a backup role long term. But again, he's also recovering from a long term injury. I could see him being a season ending injury list guy, or if not, they just keep him on the supplemental roster. So I think his option gets picked up regardless, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's not taking up an international spot. He was a, you know, very promising. Unless you have some reason, I think I said this last week or a couple weeks ago, unless you have some reason to believe that, you know, he's not going to have a successful or, you know, recovery from his ACL surgery or that he's not going to come back as good, I think you keep him around, you know, on the supplemental roster and maybe put him on the season ending list depending on how long you think it's going to take for him to recover. But, you know, he showed a lot of promise as a rookie. So it would be a shame to move on from him, especially when, you know, you are eventually looking at finding a long-term option to replace Petrovic when it seems like he inevitably goes back to Europe.
And then Justin Rennox had an option last year. We don't know if he has an option or if he is out of contract, but I believe either way, I think this is the end of the road for Justin Rennox in a Revolution uniform. I'm glad we got to see him with some extended time, but Bruce did mention on 98.5 last week some positions that he was looking forward to upgrading. He mentioned center back, outside back, central midfield, and he mentioned striker depth. And that comment about striker depth seems to imply that Justin Hustle's time in New England is coming to an end. So I think whether or not it's an option or he's out of contract, I think he'll be moving on from New England. Sadly. Any disagreement there, Sean?
I mean, it's another one for me that I could go either way on. Again, because he's a homegrown guy taking up a supplemental spot, you're not losing too much keeping him around. And he did show himself to be a, you know, useful player, if not a real option as a starter at striker. I think he showed himself to be kind of a useful player off the bench and, you know, fulfilling that role that Teal Bunbury sometimes fulfilled where, you know, late in a game, you bring him on to run a lot and put pressure on the defense. So I wouldn't be surprised either way with this one. You know, I think if you bring him back next year, he's as kind of your fourth or fifth option as a striker. That's what you need to do. But I don't mind him in that role, given that he doesn't take up, you know, much of anything as a supplemental homegrown player.
And then on top of that, the people we know whose contracts are ending, Brad Knighton, we talked about him not retiring. AJ De La Garza, I cannot imagine they bring him back. I think his time here is done. It seems like the back line is somewhere they want to upgrade, and De La Garza wasn't getting much minutes regardless. And then Nacho Heal, who Bruce Arena has kind of indicated they would like to re-sign for next season. He's mentioned that on the radio, and he's mentioned that in press conferences. So those are the three guys that are out of contract. Others that we don't know, Wilfred Kaptoum is either a free agent or he has a contract option. I believe, I don't have my numbers in front of me. I can't imagine he has a 3-year deal. That's the only way he would stay here. But I imagine they signed him to a 2-year deal with a 1-year option or something like that. If the Revs can get out of that contract, that's a no-brainer in my opinion. He's making over $500,000, and he has a he takes an international spot up. And you need to upgrade central midfield. You've signed Tommy McNamara and Matt Polster to the central midfield. You're using Christian McCoon as kind of a six, and you're trying him out in the midfield. As I mentioned earlier, I see no value in having Kaptoum here. He should not be a part of the team if you can get out of that contract. Thoughts, John?
No, I mean, I completely agree. He's a guy that if you were paying, you know, $150,000 a year and he wasn't taking up an international spot, maybe you keep him around as a depth piece, but he has not in any way lived up to his contract at any point. And to me, if his contract is up, you move on. And it's probably best for both parties to do so. So, yeah, I would be surprised if he is back next year. I can't imagine he has another guaranteed year. That would be insane. And, you know, maybe he has an option year, but I wouldn't think the Revs pick it up. But, you know, the only thing that counts against that is, you know, if Bruce didn't think he was back next year, why was he playing? Why is he playing this weekend?
I mean, if he has a 3-year guaranteed contract, we have a lot of questions. We got to revisit that 2020-2021 offseason in depth. Whew. It is worth noting that the threshold for free agency is 24 years of age and 5 or more years of MLS experience. So Kaptoum does not reach the free agency threshold. So it's worth noting that's why we don't know specifically about him and the other people I'm about to mention. But yeah, that would be a disaster. But Henry Kessler, I assume, is under contract. This is his 3rd year in the league. Usually super draft contracts are 4+. And last year, he lost his Generation Adidas status. There was never any mention of a contract extension, but I assume something has happened where he is under contract for another year. I can't imagine he's out of contract for the Revs, even if he didn't sign a new contract. So Henry Kessler, I imagine, is staying one way or another. Fair.
Yeah, I was honestly expecting him to get a contract extension this season. So I was kind of surprised it didn't happen. And maybe we'll see that in the offseason. But, you know, I expect him to be back next year. You know, I'm not certain he has another year in his contract. I guess, you know, there have been some Generation Adidas contracts that have only been 3 years. So I'm not certain that he has another year. But I think the Revolution find a way to bring him back, unless it's a situation where I believe he's got, is it an Irish passport? He's got some sort of European passport, right? So he, you know, if he was a free agent after this year, not an MLS free agent, but an international free agent, you know, maybe he explores options overseas. But from a Revolution perspective, I think you bring him back for sure.
I agree 100%. And then Christian McCoon, we don't know. I assume he is under team control, but I found absolutely nothing on this. I imagine because you spent money on bringing him in, and it seemed like a move for 2023, he is under team control. So I assume that he is either under contract or there is an option which the Revs will exercise. He only made $200,000 in salary, so seems like a cheaper piece, all things considered. And then I have no idea where Damian Rivera is on his contract. He just completed his 3rd season with the Revs. So there might be a option, but last year he had a guaranteed contract. If there's an option, Sean, is Damian Rivera on the chopping block?
I mean, he was a guy that saw minutes in the last game of the season, which I think kind of works to the favor of him being back. You know, with these homegrown players, you're not giving up a lot to keep him on the roster as a supplemental roster spot. You know, I think he'll be back next year. I would expect he'll be back next year, but he's another one where, you know, is it a big loss for the Revolution if he's not given, you know, he turns 20 in the offseason. He hasn't shown all that much for the first team yet. You know, so no, it wouldn't shock me if the Revolution moved on from him, but I would predict more likely than not that he is back next season. And again, it's a kind of a low cost move for the Revolution to keep him on the roster. And he has proven that he can at least, you know, do something. He got 13 games this year for the first team. He's proven that he can at least, you know, offer something to the first team. You know, finally this year, he's gotten the chance.
All right, Sean, well, let me go through why I'm not really excited about this offseason. So here's who's staying. And for the purposes of this, I'm going to keep Diop as a goalkeeper. It's either going to be Diop or Knighton. I'll keep John Bell. We'll assume they're stashing Maciel and Jacob Jackson on the season-ending injury list. Let's say they re-sign Nacho Heal. Let's say they bring back Kessler, McCoon, and Rivera. and we're going to cut Ima Boateng, right? Or do we want to keep Ima Boateng?
I'm going to assume he's cut just because they need the roster spot.
Okay, let's cut Ima Boateng from this. Okay, so here's what we got for a roster right now, Sean. Gustavo Bo, Vrioni, Jozy Altidore. Those are your forwards. Your midfielders are Barrero, Heel, McNamara, Polster, ITS, Buck, Esmir, Nacho, Damian Rivera. Your defenders are Bai, Omar, DeJuan Jones, Andrew Farrell, John Bell, Henry Kessler, Christian McCune. And then your goalkeepers, you have Petrovic and Diop. Okay? That's 21 people. 21 of your 30 slots are currently being occupied after we go through all this. And this is assuming that they're letting go of Boateng, they're letting go of some other Renix, they're letting go of Spalding, et cetera, et cetera. Those 21 guys that we're kind of projecting, 16 of them are on the senior roster. So there's four senior roster spots. There's five people on the supplemental roster. So you have a little bit of flexibility there, but I'm not sure how many people you can promote. There is chatter of Marcos Diaz being signed to a first team contract. I wonder if he's going to be on the supplemental roster. I assume that's where the interest is. And that's your striker depth. Even without Diaz, I'm counting six international spots used. So this team is a little bit handicapped right off the bat. And this is including you don't have a third goalkeeper on this team. You need backup outside depth. The guys I just listed, your outside backs are Brandon Bai, DeJuan Jones, and then it's John Bell and Christian McCune. You need a backup striker if you're getting rid of Jozy. Hopefully you get Jozy off the roster, but you need depth there. There's a lot of surgery that needs to be done to this team, and they need to shed some of the fat off this roster. And Jozy Altidore, Omar Gonzalez, I think they need to find a way to get them off the roster. I'm not sure what the market is for them, but this is a bit of a cluster. And with only four senior roster spots, the Revs have their hand tied a lot more than last offseason and 2 years ago and the past couple of summer windows. And Bruce Arena failed to upgrade the back line then. He failed to upgrade the central midfield then. And so Bruce Arena essentially has the same tasks as he's had the past couple of years, but with a lot fewer resources. So going into this offseason, I am very concerned about this team.
I think there's every right to be concerned unless they find ways to do the right things, move on from Omar Gonzalez, as you said, move on from Jozy Altidore. And then the wild card for me is if they find a way to, or if they decide to move on from Gustavo Bo, because I don't like him as a 33-year-old winger for the Revolution. And I think if you were to do that, you change from having very little flexibility to having the flexibility to go out there, get a center back that can compete with Andrew Farrell and Henry Kessler for a starting spot, which I think is something they need to do. And then you can go out there, get a backup striker with a decent amount of money to back up Rioni, which I think is something that they need to do. And then if you move on from Gustavo Bo, you have a DP spot that you can either use to get a designated player winger or a designated player central midfielder to go next to Polster in that midfield. And I think if you do that, there's a lot more to be excited about. But I think, like you said, if you look at the situation they're in now, and assuming, not assuming that does happen, then yeah, there's not that much flexibility, and there is reason to be concerned that they're not going to be able to do enough. But we've heard that Bruce Arena is already talking to other teams about potential trades, so it looks like he's trying to create some flexibility and open up some spots. But as of this moment right now, looking at that list, yeah, there's not a lot of flexibility for the Revolution to make big improvements in the offseason, which is worrying because they need it. And the one last point I'll add too is you mentioned the international spots. Assuming Gustavo Bo does stay here, him and Carles Heel are at the point where they've been in this league and with the Revolution long enough where they should be getting close to getting green cards. So that's another kind of wild card, is that maybe we see Carles Heel and Gustavo Bo get green cards in the offseason, which would open up two international spots, which would be a nice bonus for the Revs.
That would be very helpful, certainly. Two international roster spots isn't the worst, and one of them would go to Nacho Heel, based on my math here. It's concerning, and I'm very curious to see. I imagine there's going to be some moves in that, 2-day window right before the expansion draft. It's going to be really interesting to see who moves on from this team, because in my opinion, you're just going to have to move someone, and they should be fine in terms of allocation money with the players that they've sold. But it is concerning for sure that going into 2023, you already made some moves in the summer transfer window for 2023, and you're still not in the best spot. You still have a lot of upgrades to this team. You have to upgrade this team more than you did last year and the year before, and your resources are less. So I'm very, very down on my 2023 outlook, and we need Bruce to have a really, really good window going into this next offseason. I think the summer 2022 window was his most important of the Revs' tenure, and I think this one is going to be more important too. So we need Bruce to really pull out a really solid GM window here. Yeah, that's about it. Sean, actually, you mentioned Gustavo Bo. Let me ask you this, because in my opinion, I think the buyout, the one, you know, one off season buyout per team where you can essentially cut a check, send a player on his way, goes to Jozy Altidore. That might mean that Omar Gonzalez is here another year. I imagine he is. I can't imagine the Revs are able to find a trade partner for Omar Gonzalez. But if Gustavo Bo came here and asked to mutually terminate the deal, his contract, and go play in Argentina or wherever, would you be open to that and get absolutely nothing for Gustavo Bo? Because a lot of people are talking about buying him down to TAM. You know, Gustavo Bo makes $2.5, I think, million dollars. So to get him down to TAM, you have to move him down to $1.6 million. I don't know many people that are willing to just take a 40% pay cut for no reason. So, and I don't think extending Gustavo Bo is a great option either. So, I mean, you're really kind of talking about either buying out Gustavo Bo and praying you can find a partner for Jozy, or you're hoping Gustavo Bo takes a mutual termination. Is that something you think that the Revs pursue in this offseason?
I think if there's interest on both sides, which obviously it would have to be for mutual termination, that is something that the Revolution would consider. But I think that would be in the Revs' best interest. If you wanted to go, you know, back to Argentina or wanted to go play elsewhere and they could come to a mutual termination, I think that would be in the team's and perhaps both parties' best interest. Because to me, it's pretty clear that the Revolution are going to play a formation with one striker next season, or more likely than not, based on what we saw at end this year and based on the moves that Bruce made. And I don't like Gustavo Bo as, you know, a DP salaried starting winger at age 33. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think it's in the Revs' best interest. I don't think it's the Revs' best use of a DP slot. So if you have an opportunity for a mutual termination, then I think you take it. The math does change if you're able to get Gustavo Bo to agree to a lower contract and buy him down as a TAM guy. But I have trouble seeing that happening for the reasons you stated. You know, there's no real incentive for him to do that. He's guaranteed that money. And unless you extend him for another year or two, which like you said, I think would be a mistake. I think if a mutual termination is on the table, you do that. The only other thing I'll say is, you know, I don't expect this to happen, but I always go back to, you know, what Toronto did last year when they were in the situation the Revs are in now, where they had, you know, multiple guys they were trying to buy down and only one buyout. And they traded, I believe it was Dom Dwyer to FC Dallas so they could buy him out. And then they used their buyout on Jozy Altidore. You know, maybe if the Revolution really are desperate to get flexibility, you know, you trade Omar Gonzalez and a draft pick, or Omar Gonzalez and some GAM to, you know, an FC Dallas or another team that's not planning to use their own buyout, and get them to buy him out for you so you can save your buyout and use that on Jozy, if that's what it comes down to. I don't think there's any scenario where the Revolution buy out Gustavo Bo. But if you're trying to move on from Jozy and Omar and you're stuck, you know, that is always a possibility that you find a trade partner that's not using their buyout and give them some incentive to take Omar and use their buyout on him so you can save it for Jozy. And, you know, if you're a team like Toronto that takes a lot of risks on expensive players, you have to be willing to find opportunities and ways to do that. And I think the Revolution are in a situation right now where they may need to explore doing something like that.
Well, and I'll also say this, and it's important, I think, for people to understand that, you know, Robert Kraft is not an A-plus owner. You know, he's a C-minus owner in MLS. And a lot of the times, the Revs have had to ride out contracts because they don't have the money. They're not big, you know, revenue generators and whatever. They just sold $24 million in players, and that's part of the reason this team was awful this year. So, you know, I expect more or less Robert Kraft to cut a check of some sort to get one of these problem players off the roster. That is an expectation. I can't imagine you're finding trade partners for Josie and Omar. So if they don't use the offseason buyout, we've mentioned in the past, they've gotten rid of Buettner and who was the guy last year? Mafla. Those apparently were mutual terminations. Those weren't the offseason buyout clause. Those were mutual termination where both players, essentially agreed to rip up their contract and it didn't hurt the refs. So this is actually a mechanism that I think in the past we've assumed the refs have used, but mutual termination and a contract buyout is two different things. And I don't see a way where the refs don't use the contract buyout because it's very much in the interest of their club. So curious to see where it goes. And one more point too on the Gustavo Bo buying him down to Tam thing, Sean, that's still doesn't get rid of the problem that Gustavo Bo's role in this team next year would probably be as a winger. We saw him play on the left wing yesterday. And that's where Barrero should be playing. So buying him down to Tam and making him a super sub I don't love that either. So I think they either need to rethink of how Gustavo Bo is going to fit in this formation, or I don't know if they're going to go back to the diamond. I don't know if they're going to go to a 3-5-2. I don't know if they're going to try to force him and Vrioni to play together. If they're going to use him as a super sub or if they're going to force him on the wing. But that how Gustavo Bo plays next year, if he's here, as you mentioned, is a bit of a problem. And I think he is a dangerous weapon to have. He's just a bit of a luxury player that is an odd piece to fit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we've talked about it a lot before. But when you do have him on the roster, it kind of forces you to play these wonky formations that don't necessarily – that aren't necessarily in the best interest of everyone else on the team to try to fit him out there. And, again, when the Revolution were supremely talented last year, 2021 rather, when they won the Supporters Shield and broke all those records and they had, Tejan Buchanan and everyone was ticking at all cylinders, they were okay fitting that luxury player in there and making everything work. I don't think they can afford to do that anymore. I think it's in the Revs' best interest to find a way to move on. I'm not sure that that actually happens, but I do think you have a lot more flexibility as a team if you don't have Gustavo Bo at 33 years old, still being kind of positionless and not knowing where to play him and having to kind of adjust your whole formation and play unbalanced and do all sorts of things just to get him on the field. Like we said before, he's a very streaky player too, that, it seems like at the start of the season, it takes him some time to get going and find his sharpness. And then, at his age, he's got a lot of injuries and it seems like it takes him a long time after he gets back from an injury to find his sharpness again. I just don't think the Revolution can afford any of these things from, one of their limited DP spots and from a guy that, you're paying so much that you have to find a way to get him starting, every time he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sean, I know we're running long here. I apologize to our listeners. I thought this was going to be a short podcast also, but we got so excited about talking about the offseason. We do have a couple of listener questions I want to run through really quickly. The Anime Stoner said, we looked like the better team yesterday, in my opinion. Probably should have had more than one goal. Thoughts on that? I agree with that, although expected goals-wise, Chicago outscored the Revs. I think it was 2 to 1.5-ish, somewhere around there. I think the big highlight is Vrioni and the big missed opportunity there. But overall, I was not in love with the offensive performance from the Revs. But again, Vrioni should have buried that one. Anything to add on that one, Sean?
No, I mean, I don't disagree either, but the context is Chicago is not a very good team. So I think the Revs were probably the better team in this game marginally. But I don't get too excited about that against a Chicago team that's, one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference.
And the Anime Stoner also says, what are you expecting to see this offseason and expectations for beginning of next season? And we kind of have already outlined this a little bit. I expect to see some signings. I imagine the signings will be kind of on the bigger end because I don't think money and cap space is the issue. I think it's going to be the roster space. So I think we're going to see I believe Bruce Arena said he's going to bring in three or four guys that are going to fight for starting spots. He made similar comments last year too. There are two international slots. Seth McComber just tweeted out that he's hearing the Revs are scouting Europe right now. I imagine we're going to see 1 to 2 big signings of guys that we can slot into the lineup immediately. One is going to be a central midfielder you pair with Polster. One is either going to be a right winger to kind of take the spot of DeJory Shirati / Nacho Hill. I think Nacho Hill might be a backup. DeJory Shirati, by the way, very concerning about him that the Revs are now kind of hinting that there's some medical issues that they were not expecting when they made that trade. And the league is looking into it. Bruce told that to Frank DeLapa of the Boston Globe. So it sounds like DeJory Shirati's injury is very severe. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Sean. I don't know what exactly the compensation would be for the Revs if some medical records were held back from Bruce and the Revs when this trade was made. But that's a very big concern. I'm not entirely sure that Tajori Shrotty is going to have much of a role in this team next year.
Yeah, that's a huge question mark and a huge concern. And I continue to be kind of baffled by that whole situation that the Revs, I mean, the Revs knew, had to know he was injured when they traded for him, but obviously didn't know the extent of the injury. And, you know, we've talked about before how they probably overpaid for him given what LAFC had paid for him and given the situation where LAFC was kind of desperate to clear space out to make those big summer signings they made. The whole situation kind of stinks, you know, from an outsider's perspective. I'm very curious to see how this one unfolds. And, you know, at this point, it seems like it was a huge mistake that the Revolution made trading him and kind of in some ways tanked their season this year. And, you know, hopefully doesn't, you know, mess them up next year because he's a very highly paid player and they gave up a lot of assets for him. You know, when he's healthy, he's a very good player and could help the Revs. But, you know, he hasn't been healthy this year. And now it sounds like he's, you know, in a much worse situation health wise than anyone knew. I'm very interested in watching this closely to see where this one unfolds.
No, I agree 100%. But back to the questions of what are we expecting to see this offseason and expectations for the beginning of next season. I think one to two starters are going to be coming in. I wouldn't be shocked to see some trades, to see some players move around. I wouldn't be shocked to see, let's see, who do I think would be traded? I would have said Polster, but he just signed a contract extension. But, you know, is Henry Kessler guaranteed to come back to New England or is he a trade candidate? Like, I'm not sure. You know, I think there are a handful of players on this team that are kind of not a surefire starter, but have been contributors to this team that might be on the trading block for the Revs. And, you know, I assume that most of this core is going to be coming back. So it's really going to come down to how well they train in the off season, and how healthy they get. Cause I don't see the core of this team being shaken up too much. So expectations for beginning of next season, borderline playoff team, maybe a 5-7 seed. Sean, any disagreements with either of those comments?
I mean, I think they have to be a playoff team next year. I think there's too much talent on this roster for even with, you know, the situation we talked about them from them not to be a playoff team next year. I don't expect them to be a top seed, but I think I agree with you there. The only thing I'll say too is with, you know, you look at some trades we talked about Imo Boateng earlier. You know, there's a guy that I think probably has a little bit of trade value, and maybe if Bruce doesn't trust him. Like, I think he doesn't trust him to play lots of minutes, that he's a guy the Revs pick up the option on and trade. That's one name I could see being traded for sure. Other than that, I don't think there's that many great interleague trade options. I'd be surprised if the Revs traded Polster. I think they'd, you know, especially even more so with Martial not being available, they don't really have any other defensive midfield options. I think he sticks around. I think Henry Kessler is probably here for the long term, even though I don't think he finished the season particularly well. I couldn't see Bruce Arena trading a guy that's been such a long-term servant to the club like Andrew Farrell. I don't think there's that many trade possibilities for the Revolution. I think, like you said, maybe 3-4 signings, like Bruce said. I think center back, finding a third center back that can compete with Kessler and Farrell and push them and perhaps take over the starting spot for one of them is important. I think the wing spot, if the Revolution are committing to a, you know, 4-2-3-1 or 4-5-1, which I think they probably are, is particularly important. And I think that central midfield spot next to Polster, you know, an upgrade over Tommy McNamara is extremely important. So those are spots I look for the Revs to address in this offseason, assuming, you know, Brandon Bion and DeJuan Jones stick around and there aren't other guys that go away. But I think the Revs address those spots. And I think the Revs are kind of a middle of the pack playoff team next year where they could, you know, maybe get the fourth seed. I don't think they're going to get, you know, top one or two seeds. But I certainly expect them to be better next year than they were this year, kind of regardless of how the offseason plays out, you know, even with kind of the limited options to move guys around.
Steve McGrogan said, what players are knocked off the starting 11 by new players? I feel like you kind of just touched on that a little bit there. so I don't want to rehash that.
Well,
too much.
Who, like, if we, I think, you know, there's the easy answer that we get to with Tommy McNamara. And then there's a potential of a center back, but I don't necessarily know who the starters are. I guess we're going to say Barrero and Bo are the starters as wingers going into next season. I guess they would be on paper, right?
Yes. I think 3-4 players. Well, that also might imply DeJuan Jones might be sold.
Right.
right? I mean, 3 to 4 players. I think Tommy McNamara's spot is up for grabs. I think I like Andrew Farrell. He's great. He's getting up there in age. And you know, that center back position, when there were injuries, that was a real problem. So I think Omar Gonzalez was brought in to compete for a starting job, and he didn't win it. And I think that you're in the same spot as you were last year where, again, like, not to say that, you know, I don't want to ever see Andrew Farrell on the field again, or same thing with Henry Kessler. I don't want to, they were injured. And I think you're going to need to bring in a center back to fight for minutes there, and a reliable third center back there. So I think Andrew Farrell / Henry Kessler's jobs are, I don't want to say on the line, but you should have a third center back who's challenging him. I think John Bell is a depth center back, and he fills that role well, and he can play backup left back as well. I thought he played fine there. So I think a center back spot needs to be challenged for minutes. I think a central midfielder, you definitely need a starter. I haven't looked at the free agency list, but if there's a really solid central midfielder you can get as an 8 that you can pair with Polster, go get it. And I wouldn't be shocked if you bring in a winger that can play on the right or the left side, considering Barrero's injury history, considering Bo isn't really a great fit. I think Nacho Hill will come in, but I don't know if he's a starter. He's impressed in limited minutes. So I think you're bringing in a winger. I think you're bringing in a center back. I think you're bringing in a central midfielder. And you're bringing in an outside back, at the very least, to back up Jones and or Bai. But you know, if Jones is leaving, then you need a new left back.
Yeah, nothing to add there, because I think you hit the nail on the head with what the Revolution need to do this offseason.
Rennie Swan, this Rev season felt way too nostalgic for me, and not in a good way. How would you script a Back to the Future season for next year? How do we catch lightning and return to contention? I think this is more of a lightning in the bottle. 2024 seems to be a better window just because of all the restraints that we just mentioned. If I was Bruce, I think you're buying out Josie. I think you are trading Omar in some way, shape, or form. Now, you mentioned the Dom Dwyer trade. Toronto traded the number 3 draft pick to get Dom Dwyer, who made, I think, $70,000 off their roster. Omar's making $400,000, so you're going to have to spend a lot more just as a salary dump. But maybe someone is, you know, in love with that name and, you know, wants to bring in an American, you know, a former national team center back, and you can trade him. In terms of that, I think you really just have to go out and buy some really, really quality, you know, top of the line players. You have 2 international spots. You got to hit on those. You got to bring in someone who fits that 8 role. And as you mentioned, Sean, Frioni's got to be that guy. Cause you're stuck with him one way or another. His contract just started out. He's not going anywhere. He has to be a hit. So I think what it comes down to, we're going to end this episode kind of where we started. What's going to get lightning in a bottle? Vrioni turns out to be an absolute stud who buries a ton of goals.
Yeah, I just got to correct you quickly. Dom Dwyer, I think before the buyout, was actually making $1.7 million or $1.6 million. So I think he was a DP. And I think I know you're looking at the salary for 2021, which I think is, I don't know, messed up because of his the buyout. But in 2020, he was a $1.6 million guy. So I think that it would probably cost you a little bit less to get someone to do that with Omar.
Well, wasn't that with Orlando? That wasn't with TFC.
Maybe you're right. I'm trying to. Did he really drop down from $1.6 million to $80,000 and then have to get bought out? That seems like a steep thing to pay for an $80,000 buyout. But I have to look into that more. I don't want to waste too much time on that. But
we made fun of that move a lot. I don't think Dom Dwyer had a shot on target with TFC. He was very bad for Toronto, and he played decently for Atlanta, I believe. He scored a few goals, and I remember, oh, Dom Dwyer, good for him. The corpse of Dom Dwyer scored like 4 goals.
He was a much better signing for Atlanta than Josie Altidore was for the Revs for a lot less money. So
Dallas must have felt dumb just letting him go, and Atlanta signed him, and it was a pretty useful player. Dallas probably could have used him.
No, but I think to, as far as finding lightning in the ball, I do think it comes down to Rioni has to be, you know, that guy that scores 15 plus goals. The defense needs to play with the level of cohesion and health that they had in 2021, and Petrovic needs to have the level of communication with the defense that Matt Turner had that season. Matt Polster needs to get back to the level that he played at in 2021, because I think he had a down year this year. And then, you know, on top of all that, Carlos Hill needs to stay healthy again, which he did this year, was healthier this year than the year before. So I think that's a shame that the Revs wasted that. So I think that's all part of it. But the main thing to me is, like I said at the beginning, Rioni staying healthy. Now that I found it, I'm going to correct myself and you, is that Dom Dwyer did make $81,000 with Toronto, but his salary was set to balloon to over $300,000 in 2022. So maybe it is more of an analogous situation to Omar Gonzalez, where he was probably making something similar to Omar Gonzalez was in 2022 for the buyout.
Let me ask you this, Sean. The Revs have either pick 9 or 10. Would you trade pick 9 or 10 to get Omar off the roster?
You know, I think with the given kind of the success of the super draft for Bruce, I don't know. I that would be a tough one. If you told me a second round pick, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If you told me, 50K, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd consider it. If that's what they needed to do to get rid of both Omar and Josie, I'd consider it.
Josie is the contract bio, but I think we've ranted about this roster a lot. I think a lot is going to be coming down to this core. Where does Bo fit? Is Bo finding his stride wherever they play him? Is Vrioni him? Is Carlos Hill healthy and still effective? Is Barrero healthy and effective? And does the defense kind of regain its form? Do they stop conceding penalty kicks? And do we upgrade an 8? I think those are the biggest questions for this team. And a lot of those questions are already in Foxborough. So, Sean, let's wrap up with some news and notes. I know we're going long here. Mentioned earlier, the Revs are currently negotiating a deal with Rev striker Marcos Diaz per Gustavo Lopez. Diaz has offers from Brazil, France, and Austria. That might be your striker depth. That might be your Justin Renick's replacement. 20 years old, 6 goals at Revs 2 this season in 1,457 minutes. I believe he would take an international roster spot, so that would be an interesting use of one if that's the decision that they go with. Maybe Nacho Hill won't come back if he's not going to be a surefire starter just because he takes up that international roster spot. We will see. Or maybe they trade for one. If they sign Diaz, they're already a little bit behind in terms of international roster spots, in my opinion. Matt Turner, first Arsenal clean sheet in the Europa League earlier this week. Go Matt Turner. Bruce Arena also told 98.5 in his radio spot that he is intending to return to the Revolution. Says he has no intention of retiring. He says the Revs will, the Crafts will need to fire him, which is a very different tune from last year when it seemed like a question whether or not he was coming back. I can't imagine he is going to be fired this year. We've talked about this before. I can't imagine the Crafts fire him in general. I think a normal owner might give him a second season, and if he can't turn it around, maybe look elsewhere. But just in general, I think Robert Kraft has some loyalty to Bruce Arena and doesn't have a ton of pressure on him. So I think Bruce Arena is the coach for the foreseeable future. Any disagreement there or any reaction to that?
No, I was kind of a little bit surprised by that comment too, based on his attitude last offseason, where it seemed like he wasn't sure how much longer who's going to go before he retired. But I think there's zero chance of being fired unless it's after next season and they don't make the playoffs next year and it's a poor season.
And we've talked about this a million times. Their summer window was 2023 geared. So I think it would be, I'm sure Bruce was given a promise he was coming back in 2023 before he made those moves. But I don't know. It seems like we're looking at 2024 now. And based on that comment, if I was a gambling man, unless Bruce decides has a change of heart, I think he's coaching into 2024 as well, because I can't see Kraft firing Bruce Arena. Also, update on the U.S. Amputee soccer team. Knocked out in the round of 16 earlier this week to Haiti. It was a 6-2 extra time loss. Basically, they conceded early in extra time, played very offensively, ended up conceding a few more times, but it was a much closer game than that. So very good effort from the United States amputee soccer team. They also beat England. I feel like that's the important thing. They beat England and Indonesia in the group stage, lost to Argentina. They played games throughout the remainder of the tournament. So every team 1 through 24 was ranked, and the United States finished 15th. So congratulations to the United States amputee soccer team. Nico Calabria, of course, had a wonderful tournament. I did not count how many goals he had, but I believe through the round of 16, he had like 6 goals and 2 assists, including a hat trick against Indonesia. So if you've not listened to that interview we we had earlier this year. Go check that out. And you can read about them more at usampsoccer.org. I also believe they're having a merch sale through the end of October. So go check that out as well. And then, Sean, we would be remiss if we did not mention that yesterday was the last game with Brad Feldman and Charlie Davies. And so I just wanted to give a tip of the cap to them. I think they will be missed. A bit sad seeing all of the posts. I'm not sure what the future for them holds. I would imagine Charlie Davies gets picked up by Apple TV. I don't know about Brad Feldman. Certainly from how just reading the posts, it seems like he might not have a spot next year. And, you know, Brad Feldman is local. You know, the Apple TV job will require a lot more travel. So maybe it's not a fit for him. Maybe it's a mutual thing. But I hopefully they both get picked up. You know, Brad Feldman, we've had him on the show before, the voice of the Revs. Really unfortunate part of the business where Apple TV is kind of taking away these local broadcasts. So just wanted to tip of the cap to Brad Feldman and Charlie Davies for a great job over the past few seasons. And yeah, I will miss their broadcasts.
Yeah, and you have to imagine that Brad stays involved with the organization in some ways, and hopefully we'll get him back on the podcast. But it is a kind of a sad end of an era to end the local broadcast. You know, Brad's been doing it for as long as I can remember watching the team. And he's been a big help with the podcast in the past. Back when we were a radio show, like I mentioned, when he came on the show, he was the one that actually came up with the name when we were trying to spitball through names that we ended up calling this Revolution Recap. That was him when we were going through different names that we wanted to try. And you know, it's super helpful in the early years of always getting us guests on the podcast. So I can't thank him enough for being a big part of, I should say, the radio show back then. And always being a guest when we needed someone to come on. So it's sad to see the end of local broadcast. He was a voice of the Revs for so many years. And I think in, you know, when you look at Boston sports teams, whether it's the Celtics or the Red Sox or the Bruins, there's always been kind of that voice that's stuck with the team for years that you always associated with it. And Brad is that for the Revs. And you know, for all the benefits that the Apple TV is going to bring, I think it is a real shame that, you know, Revs fans are going to lose that.
Mm-hmm. And I do just want to mention too, I mean, not only has he come on our show, if you follow other Revs podcasts or other local soccer podcasts, chances are Brad Feldman has gone on it. He does a weekly spot in Maine on the Big Jab, where he talks Revolution soccer with the Mannix and Mannix show. You know, he dedicates a lot of time to promoting the Revs and promoting soccer and talking. And I don't think he's ever said no to an interview. So, it's a real shame, that this is happening, and one of the downsides to the Apple TV deal for sure. So, yeah, very, very sad moment. As happy as it was to end the season, I think this is definitely one thing that will be sad from 2022 ending. So I also wanted to mention one other comment too. I wanted to give a shout out to David Sibilian, who didn't have a question for us, but he says that he is likely not getting Apple TV next season, so he probably won't be watching games live. I don't know if he'll still listen to the podcast, but he wanted to thank us for his coverage, and I wanted to give a shout out to David, who's been listening to our show since really our first season, since we rebooted this. And I wanted to thank all of our listeners too, who have been sticking with us through this year. It's been a very long year for us all personally. We've been pushing through these episodes no matter what life throws at us. Although the results were not great, I certainly enjoyed doing this podcast, and I really enjoyed all the interaction we're getting. I believe listens are up again this year. It seems like we have grown a little bit more despite the results on the field, and I'm very excited about going into next season, you know, continuing to talk about the Revs. And we'll probably talk a little bit more with some housekeeping in a future episode, but I just want to thank David for his years-long support of the podcast, and for all of you listening, all of your comments, all of your reviews, they mean a lot, and they keep us going. So thank you for another great season. Sean, anything you want to tack on before we wrap up?
No, I think you summed it up well.
All right. Well, if you want to continue to support us, make sure you rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you're listening. We love reviews. We're hoping to get to 100 before the end of the season. We're at 85. So if you have not given us a review on iTunes, please give us a review there. If you haven't rated us on Spotify, please give us a review there. It's really helpful. It means more than we can articulate. Please make sure you follow us on Revolution Recap Twitter at Revolution Recap. Also follow our Instagram and Facebook pages. Be sure to follow the Bent Musket on Twitter at The Bent Musket and follow them at www.thebentmusket.com. They'll be providing coverage throughout this offseason as well. Be sure to follow our friends at The Rebellion, at The Rebellion on Twitter, and go to anyrebellion.org to learn more about them and how you might be able to become a member of their organization for next season. And please also check out our sponsor, Golasso Kits. And thank you again to Golasso for sponsoring us for this season. Promo code REVSRECAP for 15% off your order. Christmas season is coming up. There's going to be something you're going to want for yourself or someone else. So again, GolassoKits.com, 15% off with promo code REVSRECAP. And if you want to support us further, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/revolutionrecap. We appreciate those who have supported us all season long, and we'll be continuing to put out hopefully more off-season content because we have supporters like yourself. So we won't be going anywhere. You'll be hearing from us a lot this off-season. Thank you for your continued support. And we'll be back soon. We'll be back soon to talk more off-season stuff. Expansion draft is going to be coming up. When we hear about those contract options and decisions, we're going to go back and revisit everything we talked about here in terms of our off-season outlook. We'll be here very, very shortly. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and go Revs.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.